Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to change the way you think. And that's exactly right. We're in the middle of this series called Think 4-8. And I just want to say today and tomorrow's actually officially Memorial Day, not to be confused with Veterans Day. Okay, so let me just clarify for you. Tomorrow's about celebrating the ones who have died for our freedom. It is a somber day. I know it's the beginning of summer, and we're all fired up. Kids are going to be out of school, if not already. And, you know, but we got to stop and think and go, wow, somebody gave their life. When they were 18, 19 years old, they gave their life so I could be where I am and have what I have. I believe that's 4-8 thinking. It's somber, but it's grateful, right? I got to just tell you how grateful I am for this country, for my family. Our family escaped tyranny in a communist revolution in 1959. And I am extremely grateful this country offered refuge for me and my family. And Memorial Day will be a very, very special day for our family. So with that, 4-8, you guys ready for some joy today? You ready for some joy? Today we're going to talk about joy. We're going to talk about pure joy. All right, but before we do that, let's recap last week. This whole series that we're doing, if you missed last week and the week before, it's all about thinking the way God intended for us to think. And God does want you to think certain things, but the truth of the matter is, in our society and in our nature, we think a lot of other things. And it's important that we think the right things, because what we looked at last week is how you think is how you live. And so it's really important. So we're taking some time, and it's all from this scripture here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And I want us to read it together, if you would. And I want to encourage you through this series to memorize this verse. Okay, because this is so important. Paul wrote this verse, wrote this letter of Philippians in jail. A first century jail, not 21st century jail. So let's read it together. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul as he was carried along by your Holy Spirit. We ask you to help us learn today from your Holy Spirit, from your word, how to think. God, our minds are filled with so many things, and we just pray that today we can move in your direction. Pray for our friends that are here, guests that are here visiting with us. Help them to feel, God, and know that you love them and you want them close to you. Father, we want to pray for the needs in our church. There are many. We pray for those that have suffered loss, like April and her family. Please comfort them and bless them. Father, we pray for those that are suffering sickness, that need help, that need healing. Please provide that. And Father, we just pray for our country, that you'll please help us to be grateful for what we have. Bless the families that have suffered loss for our freedom. We love you, God. Be with us. Fill me with your spirit so I can speak on your behalf in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Well, here's a real quick recap of the last couple of weeks, and this is why this series is so important. Where you set your mind is where you will go. Where you set your mind is where you will go. So where do you want to go? Do you want to go to, you know, a dark place? Do you want to go into a state of depression? Do you want to go to a state of anxiety and stress? Or do you want to go to a good place? It all starts with the way you think. And God knows this about us. And we looked at this last week. We got inside of each other's heads last week, and we looked at the brain. And we talked about the Bible builds a better brain. And we talked about the two parts of our brain that are very important. And anybody remember the two parts of the brain that we talked about? The first part, which is on the front, this red part, what's it called? Prefrontal cortex, right? And that part of our brain is the decision maker. It's the rider, okay? We're not going to go over everything. But then we got this middle part of our brain, which is called the limbic system. And do you know that science right now can monitor what's going on in these different parts of our brain? They can tell by the temperature. And they read the temperature of these parts of the brain. When this part of the brain is hot, what's that say? There's a lot of decision-making going on. There's maybe some spirituality going on. Okay, but when this part of the brain is cold, is that a good time to make a financial decision? Probably not. The middle, this gets hot when we're emotional. Happy, angry, whatever it is. When we're feeling a lot of emotion, excitement, that part of the brain is hot. What's God trying to do for us? Balance. Balance. When you have a balanced brain, you're going to do awesome. And God's trying to create that. And we talked about that last week, that if you're thinking in line with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be balanced. So we talked about that. Where you set your mind, your life will go. So let me just ask you, where do you want your life to go? And I believe in the next few weeks, if you really learn, and it's really helped me personally, I've really been going after this because I've needed it, and I need it. Some of you are like, well, why can't we talk about something else? You don't understand. You really need this. And if you don't need it now, you're going to need it next week or in a month. I promise you. Okay, it's coming. And so today we're going to talk about pure joy. Pure joy. You ready for pure joy? What is pure joy? 3 months from now, let me tell you what pure joy was in my life at that time. August of 1988, I asked my wife, I got down on one knee. She wasn't my wife, she was my girlfriend. I got down on a knee and I said, will you marry me? And you know what she said? What did she say? Yes, she said yes. And I was fired up. Let me tell you, that was pure joy. Pure joy. And I'm still celebrating that joy. She still says yes. Not maybe, yes. When you're holding a child and that child is laughing, a baby, Isn't that awesome? Just to feel the joy. But when it's not your child, it's somebody else's child. Because you can give that child back to the parents, right? God bless you. God be with you. There's something about a child when they're fired up and there's pure joy. But let me ask you a question. This weekend is a great example. This past weekend, our church, and let me just say this. I am so proud of our church. Because last week, when April Basurto was going through the worst week of her life, we as a church rallied around her. Yesterday at the funeral, and I just want to encourage those of you who showed up to support the family, guys, you were awesome. I was so proud of our church, the way you rallied around her and her family, and we ministered to them. That is so awesome. But let me ask you a question. How can you feel pure joy when you're going through hell? How do you do that? Memorial Day weekend. It's an awesome weekend. Cookouts, ice cream, parades. Do you know that there's families that are celebrating Memorial Day weekend a lot differently than that? Because for them, dad's not coming home. Dad died for our country. And that loss right now is a little greater than a flag and a motto. How do you experience joy when you're going through a horrific time in your life? How do you do that? And today is so important. If you're not going through it, you will go through it. And I believe today, if we learn what God wants to teach us, boy, we can come out so much better, so much stronger. And we can feel pure joy in spite of the fact that we're going through a very difficult time. So let's hear what James, the brother of Jesus, had to say about that. All right, you ready? Here he goes. James chapter 1, verse 2, he says this. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. What's a trial? Trial is a test. A trial is a horrific circumstance that you're going through in your life, a job that you're losing, a lost loved one, something really, really, really tragic in your life. James, seriously, are you telling me that I'm going to supposed to feel joy during that time? I do not get it. I don't understand what you're saying. I know that you're the brother of Jesus and everything, and you saw Jesus, and it changed everything when you saw his resurrection, but I don't get this. Or maybe you say this, I can see pure joy because I've gotten through hard times and I'll get through hard times again. Certain trials, I'll be okay. But what are the ones, what happens with the ones when you have no idea how to cope? How does this make sense? How does this work? And our church has been going through it. I don't know if you know this. Fernando's death, tragic death. He was murdered. It was dark. But that wasn't the only thing. We had other family members pass this week. We have a father, one of our Latin families. He was admitted to the hospital. He's got cancer, and his kidneys were failing. And we thought he was going to go. And it was like thing after thing after thing this week. And I'm like, what is going on? Comes in waves. How can you be fired up when there's so much trial going on in the lives of our brothers and sisters? How does this work? And here's something that, let's flip that verse, okay? Let's flip that verse. Whenever you face trials, what do you consider? He's telling us to consider it a pure joy, but what do we really consider when we face trials? Can we be honest? Anger? Pain? What else? Anxiety? Stress? Depression? Okay, a lot of negative things, right? Where do you go? Where do you go when you're facing trials of many kinds? Alcohol, drugs, pornography, food. Where do you go? What do you consider? What do you think when you face trials? And this is important. Let's change it a little bit. Whenever your marriage faces trials, where do you go? What do you think? What do you consider? Do you think about another relationship? Do you think about separation? Do you think about divorce? What do you consider when you go through a trial? This is becoming real, isn't it? Are we communicating? I think. And the truth of the matter is, we go sometimes where our emotions go. Instead of saying, whoa, time out. I have a choice. I don't have to go where my emotions go. I don't have to go where circumstances is leading me. I can make a decision to go in a different direction and think differently about this situation. In fact, I can think the way God wants me to think. And it can make all the difference. Because what you think, your life goes. And a lot of us know this about ourselves. See, because when I was a teenager, what things that I considered when I didn't do well in school when I was in high school, how did I deal with that trial of not doing well in school and getting in trouble a lot? I turned to alcohol, I turned to drugs, I turned to pornography, I turned to a lot of dark things. How did that turn out? It was incredibly destructive. So you got to ask yourself a question. The things that you consider and you turn to during trials, think, is it going to lead you in a good direction? And it didn't. And in many cases, it led to death and destruction. And so when you're in this moment of a trial, this is huge. And James goes on, verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Say it with me. Perseverance. Perseverance. This is a power word, perseverance. Do you know that if you have perseverance in your life, man, you can go a long way. You can be a strong parent, employee. If I were to look at one characteristic that I would want as a friend of mine, I would want perseverance. You know what I mean? If I'm going to get in a relationship with somebody, in a marriage or in a family, you know what I would want? I would want that. James says, if you think about trials differently and you start to understand what God is up to, you're going to have this. It's going to produce perseverance. But before we go into this whole idea of perseverance, what do you know about you? What do you know about you? Okay, and this is important. When you're in the middle of a trial, what do you know about you? I know I don't feel good about what I'm going through right now. I know that I feel incredibly miserable, discouraged, angry, depressed, you name it. What do you know about you? Or maybe you know this about you. I've gotten through trials before, and I will make it through this again because I can do this. I got this. Careful with that. Or here's another question. When you're going through the trial, these are really important questions to ask. I hope you're writing this down because this could really help you. Okay? This week could be your week. I'm not predicting doom on anybody's life, but I'm just saying it could happen, right? And I want to be ready. This could be the best week of your life. What do you know about those people? Do you know that half of the trials that we go through are caused by those people? You know who I'm talking about? Family, friends. What do you know about those people? Those people are complicated. Those people are messed up. Those people, you know, 6 months ago, and it could be your husband, it could be your wife, it could be your children, it could be your parents. Could be your coworkers. What do you know about those people? Well, those people are very unpredictable, and those people have hurt my feelings on many occasions. Those people are insensitive, and long list. And here's something I want you to think about. Sometimes we focus so much on those people that it takes our mind and our emotions to a really dark place. And I got news for you. Those people aren't thinking about you. Man, they're having a great day. Those people, they're going through life and they're you know, it's good. And you are going to let their situation infect you emotionally and take you to a dark place. How is that logical? How does that make sense? Why are you going to let somebody else hijack your emotions and your thinking? But these are questions you got to ask. What do you know about those people? Okay, here's a really big one. What do you know to be true about God? What do you know to be true about God when you're going through the trial? What do you know to be true about God? Not what you feel about God. Not what you've been told about who God is and what what do you know to be true? How can I find out? How can we know what is true about God? Can I take a poll? Should I ask, should I ask Google? And hey, what do we know to be true about God? There's only one place you can find out. In the scriptures. If you want to know what is true about God. But here's something that happens to people when they go through trials. Their trials become greater than the truth about God. This is oversized. And we begin to question God. who he is, his character. Why is he allowing this to happen? Why did God do this to me? Did God really do this to you? Did God really cause this? Well, he's God. Yeah, but you don't know what is true about him. You're going on your feelings. You're going on your religious experience in your previous church life or how you grew up with your parents or whatever experience. You've not taken the time to really understand what God says about himself, what is true. And when you're here, when your trials are greater than, your faith is in deep trouble. I've seen many people walk away from God, walk away from a lot of things in their lives because their trials are way out of line. And this can happen to all of us, guys. I just want you to know. It's important that we right-size our trials and we right-size God. So this is the way we need to see. God is greater than my trials. God is greater than my trials. When you know that, how do you face your trials? With a lot more confidence, because God is greater. I've seen this. I've seen this in my own life, but I've also seen it in the lives of other people. When they decide to do this, their trials, they go get really small, and guess what? Their trials go away. And they pass. And they come out different as it's over. So what do you know to be true about God? I want to encourage you today to start on a quest to really understanding who is God. Right now in your life. Not what's on the latest, greatest thing on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Find out what's true about God for yourself. This is huge because it's going to get you through some very difficult times in your life, and it's going to help you to think differently. Let's finish what James said. James 4, verse 4 of James 1, he said, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Love this. All right, so we're going to do a little exercise. Ready? You with me? I need your attention. What do you look like when you're persevering? Okay? What do you look like? Facial expression when you're persevering. What do you look like? I want you to turn to your neighbor and show them what you look like when you're persevering. Can you do that for me? Show them what you look like when you're persevering. Come on, give me a persevering face. Give it to me. Give it to them. What's it look like? Okay, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about some of you because you're not making any expression at all, and I know that's not true. All right? Let me show you what perseverance looks like. You ready? Come back. This is what perseverance looks like. Looks like that. Perseverance looks like that. Man, you are hanging on. The wind is blowing. There's stuff flying around. It is hard. I don't know if I'm going to make it. My flip-flop is coming off over here. And I'm just hanging on, not with one hand, both hands. I hope you're doing this with your faith. Because sometimes in life, you got to hang on with both hands in your faith. Because life is hard. And then it gets harder. And you got to hang on. This is something really, really important. Perseverance. Perseverance looks like this. And perseverance, you got to hang on. Perseverance means to be steadfast. You do not let go. You do not quit. No matter what it means. And this doesn't come from just a religious experience. This comes from a man-sized, a woman-sized decision where you say, I am going to follow Jesus. In 1985, I made a decision to follow Jesus. And that meant, no matter what comes in the future, I'm going to stay with this. And that scared me to death because my character, because I was honest with myself. What do I know about me? I've never stayed faithful to anything in my whole life. 21 years old. But this time, I'm going to do this. And so I don't know what's coming, but I'm going to do this. This can go a long way in our lives. Okay? Look at what he says here, James 4. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. What do you want your life to turn out like? Do you want to be mature or do you want to be immature your whole life? I got a chance to go back home a couple weeks ago when I went and saw my parents, and you know how you always do this. I got with a couple of my old friends from high school, and we're still close, like family. And so you know how you do it. You go, so how's so-and-so? How's so-and-so? And there was a few of, they're doing the same knucklehead Mickey Mouse stuff that they were doing in high school. I'm 52 years old. And they're still doing the same stuff as before. Some of them have died because of the Mickey Mouse stuff. And that was tragic. I just shook my head. I said, man, that's so sad. But I had to turn to God. I go, God, thank you, because without you, I would be right there with them. So do you want to be mature? Do you want to grow up? College students. Do you want to grow up? Some of you are like, I don't know, dude. That's a lot of responsibility. High school students, do you want to mature? I can say probably so, because this immature stuff and these hormones going, it's a crazy ride. I want to like get off this crazy ride and settle down and be mature. Complete. How about that? And not lacking anything. Wow. I got it. But you know what we do? Here's something. Perseverance has got a job to do in our lives, and it must finish its work. Here's what we do as friends. Sometimes here's what we do in church. When somebody's going through a trial and they're persevering, and you can see it, they're persevering, what do we like to do for them? We want to rescue them. Do not rescue people when they are going through a trial and a difficulty. You encourage them, but do not bail them out. Because this trial that they're going through has to finish its work. Parents, do not bail your children out. Oh, that's hard. I want to save my kids. The Bible says you got to save people, right? Yeah, but you do not save them from the trial. Let them go through it. God is up to something in our lives, and you got to let that work. Let's encourage each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's read scriptures with each other. But you let that work happen. You let that perseverance finish its work. Can we make that commitment today? But can I just be honest? Our society today, and even in our church, we do not persevere. At the slightest challenge, difficulty, I'm out. I'm done. Because I'm hurt. Do you know how many times I've been hurt in this church, in other churches that I've been with? I mean, it is not easier. It's harder because you put your heart out there. It's difficult. And we don't persevere. We quit. We quit on church. We quit on our family. We quit on our marriage. We quit on our small group. We quit on relationships. And here we are bebopping around thinking it's all good. And you know what? While you're bebopping around quitting and not persevering and getting off the bus and getting off the train, guess what? Never finishes its work. And guess what? Never happens in your life. You don't become mature as God intended. And this is not about me. This is God. God is up to something. And sometimes the harder road, the more difficult road, is the best road. He's up to something. He's got the perfect plan. He knows what you need. He knows what's lacking, and he wants to complete you. You got to let him work, and we got to let each other work and go through it. Okay, you with me? Now, let's look at the antithesis. Help me here. Antithesis of this scripture. You ready for the 8-4 version? Okay, we've heard 4-8. Let's hear the 8-4 version of this verse. You ready? All right, here we go. Perseverance must not finish its work. Just get off, quit. Perseverance must not finish its work so that you may be immature, incomplete, and lacking everything. Man, I want this in my life. We laugh, but this is what people do with their faith, with their relationship with God. It's time for some of us to buckle in, persevere. Stick with it. Stay with it. Can I say this too? We got some people in this church that have persevered, and they, to me, are heroes. They're like paratroopers, special forces, because they have not quit. They have not given up. People that you saw, you know, Mike shared about our special contribution number. Do you know where that came from? People that have persevered. They've gone through financial hardship, and they still gave. It was not emotional. Oh, I can't give this year. I can't do it this year. I can't stay faithful this year. I got to back out. I can't lead this year. I can't volunteer this year. I can't do it. I can't do it. And here it is. But there are so many people in our church, brothers and sisters, that they have persevered for many, many years. They are the backbone. They are like these columns in this building. They don't move, and they hold everything up. Let me just say, you know who you are. I esteem you today. I esteem you today. Because you have hung in it. And I'm not saying anything bad about the people that, you know who they are. They're going through it. Hey, let perseverance, because if you learn lots of different ways. I don't wish bad on anybody, but it's harder sometimes to not persevere than it is to persevere. Here's something you got to understand. God always considers who you are. Are becoming. He's got the image. I know you don't, but he's got the picture. He's got a picture of you, who he wants you to become, how he wants your marriage to look like, your family to look at. He's got a picture of you, and he's working on it. He's got that Photoshop, and he's working on your character, and he's working on your faith, and he's trying to get you there. And it doesn't matter if you're young or old or in between. He's working on you. Try to get on page with what he wants you to become versus what you're feeling right now. Think the way God wants you to think. Here's something really important, and then we're going to wrap it up, okay? Because you guys want to go have hot dogs and apple pie and celebrate Memorial Day. Your purpose, this is huge. Your purpose must be greater than your feelings. Your purpose must be greater than your feelings. Now, I got to be honest. Some of you let your feelings overshadow your purpose. What is your purpose? Do you have a identity, like a purpose statement for your life? Highly encourage it. Highly encourage you write it down. What is your purpose? Child of God. Disciple of Christ. That is my purpose. That is who I am. That is my identity. That's what I am after. I'm not after this. I'm not after that. This is what I'm after. This is who I am, and this is who I want to become. Let me read with you guys a study that happened. Cornell University, Ivy League college in New York. Okay, one of the top. The Department of Psychology wanted to test a theory. And the theory is that when people get in an environment where there's diversity of ethnicity, right? That's a hard word. Say it three times. Ethnicity. They get stressed. Now look around. There's some variety of ethnicity in this room. Are you stressed? No, because church defies science. But let me just tell you about science. They had the theory that people, when they get in an environment that is different than their own, they get stressed out, okay? So they got these grad students, and they paid them money if they would participate in the study, and they sent them to Chicago, and they, you know how Chicago is? Chicago's got a lot of variety of ethnicity, okay? They got some different neighborhoods. Some of those neighborhoods, anybody from Chicago? Go ahead. Chicago, yep. Chi-town, all right? You guys know about Chi-town. There are some neighborhoods that are rough, right? They put these graduate students on a train, and a metro train, and they had to get off at different stops. And they had a clipboard, and they had to write down what they feel in those different places at the different stops. Okay, and the descriptions that they felt were something like this. Very fearful, alone, and distressed. I'm freaking out. They wrote this down, okay? But they took half of the grad students, and before they did the trip on the train, half of them wrote down a brief purpose statement about themselves. The other half wrote a brief summary of the last movie that they saw. This is what the study showed. The half that wrote the purpose statement before they did the study felt no stress. The other half that wrote about the last movie that they saw felt incredible stress. What's that tell you? Your purpose will save you from a lot of stress. Let's elevate this one notch higher. You've got a purpose that you think you need to fulfill. God has a purpose that He wants you to fulfill. I believe if you get on God's purpose, because see, if you have a purpose, it'll help you go through the different metro stops here in Los Angeles, because Los Angeles is a little bit like Chi-town, Chicago. Your purpose will help you get through metro stops. God's purpose will help you get through trials, severe trials, because you will always remember, what is your purpose? What am I here for? What is my calling? And you'll make it. You will get through it, and it will change you. This is huge. So there you go. There's your study about science is confirming what God already knows about us. God's purpose must be greater than your feelings. This is big, guys. I've seen so many people tank in their faith because of their feelings. Please, right-size your feelings. They are just that. They are feelings. Well, I want people to understand my feelings. Okay, that's fine. We can do that. But you need to right-size your feelings. Your feelings is not your identity. It's not who you are. It's not where you're going. It's where you are right now. And thinking 4:8 means I have a purpose that God wants to accomplish in my life, and this is part of the process, and I understand it. I'm going through a hard time, and I got it. But God, you are faithful. You are good. You are right. You're going to get me through this. I believe in you. I trust you. Read your Bible. What happened to people who did that? I mean, look around in church. Look at the people who are doing that. They have an incredible testimony about how God got them and is getting them through. So this is very, very important. All right, so let's wrap it up. I got some homework for you. You ready for some homework? Come on, show some enthusiasm. It's Memorial Day. Come on, you want homework. Okay, this is not homework like school homework. This is homework that could change your life. Do you want to change your life? Do you want things to get better? Okay, so I want you to get your newsletter. Okay, get your newsletter. Okay, did you not get a newsletter? Did anybody need a newsletter that did not get? Okay, guest services people, love you. Can you help these people out? Please raise your hands. You make sure you get a newsletter. Very important today. Okay, Vince, where are you? Can you? Ray, okay, hold your hand up. Can you get more newsletters? Getting them. Thanks, Mike. All right, here we go. Put your hand down just for a minute so you can rest. Rest that arm. Now put it up. Come on, here they come. All right? Okay, you need your newsletter this week, and you're going to need it next week. I need a newsletter. This is last week's. Can somebody give me this week's? Help a brother out. I need a newsletter. Okay, these are very special questions on the back of your newsletter. This is not for your group. This is for you. I want you to keep these in a place where you can see them. Some of you that are savvy with technology, you can take a picture of these questions. I want you to answer these questions on a regular basis this week. All right? Put these in a place where you can see them during the week. Also, make it a point to answer them with family, friends, and coworkers. All right? Are you with me? Okay, so you ready to go through the questions? You need your newsletter. And next week, we're going to have some more of these questions. The purpose of these questions is to make 4-8 thinking easy. To make 4-8 thinking easy. All right, so you ready for this first? And I'm going to ask somebody to answer the question, all right, for me. First one, number one. What do you know to be true about God? Give it to me. He is the promise keeper. Put that in there. What do you know to be true about God? Not what you feel. What do you know to be true about God? What's that going to lead you in? That's 4-8. That's 4-8. Write that down and repeat it over and over again when you start the day in the shower. What do I know to be true about God? Number two, what excites me about my faith? Give me something. What excites you about your faith? I can't hear that. That's renews every day. My faith is leading me in a great direction of trust, of confidence, okay, as I grow my faith. Whatever it is, you write it down for you. Number three, aren't I blessed to have such a strong faith in the Lord? Oh, man. And I saw that a couple weeks ago when I was back at home with friends and family. Number four, who are the people that pray for me consistently and how? And that how that makes me feel. That's not said correctly. I fit it into this, but I think it's on here correctly. Here on the sheet, it's correctly. This, I couldn't fit it. Sorry. Hey, who's praying for you on a consistent basis? Who's praying, Paul? Who's praying for you on a consistent basis? I think Jenny is praying for you on a consistent. How's that make you feel about your wife? Man, she's awesome. What's this doing for us? Okay, what's this doing for us? This has taken us to a much better place. Number five, what is awesome about my life right now? And how can I show it? Andrea, what is awesome about your life right now? Yeah, and you graduated from high school, right? And you're going to college, right? Right? Okay, anything, fill it in. Oh, well, I don't have anything going on good in my life. Really? In the United States of America, there's nothing going on good in your life? Okay, let's talk afterwards. Okay? I'll help you. Okay? Number six, what is great about my country? Memorial Day weekend. What's great about our country? Give me one answer. Freedom. You don't have to walk out of here worried about, is somebody going to take your stuff, your house, you raid your bank account and leave you high and dry? You don't have to worry about that. You know why my parents left Cuba? Because the government took everything, everything. The farm, the house, and they were going to take me and put me in the military and change everything that I thought about them. That's intense. Appreciate our country. Number seven, what is the most amazing thing about my life so far? I'm sorry? Careful about speaking in church, okay? What's the most amazing thing about your life so far? Somebody help me with this. What? having a relationship with God. That's the most awesome thing about my life right now, that God listens to me. Now, guys, this does no good if you're not going to go through it. If you want to have 4-8 thinking, answer these questions, repeat the answers to these questions all week long. Have conversations about this. If somebody needs some help, you can use these questions to help them, all right? All right, let's celebrate the communion, and we are done. What did Jesus do to get us thinking 4-8? He did everything. He did everything. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud, Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I want you to imagine a stadium filled with saints who are watching you, who are cheering you on, who are telling you, you're going to make it. An audience. Such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders. What are some things that hinder us? Emotions, feelings, negativity, my past, all kinds of stuff. Throw that stuff off. Get rid of it so that the sin that so easily entangles, whatever stuff you got going on in your life right now that you're not being open about, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Leave it. It's not worth it because God has greater plans for you. And let us run, not walk. Let us run with perseverance. Here's that word again. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. What does this tell you about God? He has a race marked out for you, a lane for you, and not for everybody, for you, just you. It's got your name on it. He's got a lane for you. Focus on that, fixing our eyes on who? Now, what did Jesus do? Why should I focus on Jesus? Exactly what we've been talking about all morning. Jesus did that. Jesus thought 4-8. When he went through trials of many kinds, what did he do? He focused on his purpose. He focused on what God was going to accomplish. And guess who else he focused on? You. You. God focused on you. Jesus focused on you. You know why he finished the race? For you, for me. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I want you to understand something about your faith. You may have money, you may have a car, you may have a career, you may have the most valuable thing you have is your faith. Because it will be all that you carry with you when you die. You will take nothing else. It will be your trust, your confidence in God that will take you to the other side. Protect your faith. Cherish your faith. Build your faith. Grow your faith. Do not let anyone or anything mess with your faith. Because it's yours and it's precious. For the joy. Now this is awesome. For the joy set before him. How can you be fired up about dying the most cruel death on a cross? How can you be fired up about that? You tell me. How was Jesus experiencing pure joy on the cross? Because he was thinking 4-8. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is excellent, admirable, praiseworthy, and I'm going to save people 2,000 years from now. Would that fire you up? I'm leaving a legacy that's going to change people for the rest of eternity. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning and shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I can just imagine Jesus saying, okay, if I can just get through this, I'm going to be with God. If you and I can just get through this, where will we be? Please try to understand today where we're going with this. And this can make you shine. This can make you effective. This can make you a different person. And that's what God wants to do. What's he up to? What's he up to? Pure joy. Because he's got a plan. And he loves me more than anybody. He loves me. He showed it. He proved it. Let's pray as we remember Jesus and his sacrifice. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, that we can remember Jesus' body that was poured out broken for us. Thank you for Jesus' incredible example of how he was fired up about dying because he was fired up about us. Father, help us to think more like Jesus. Help us to be more like you. Forgive us for our negative, faithless thinking. Please give us a new beginning today. Help us, God, to move in your direction. We entrust our lives to you. Help us to persevere, Father, and not give up, and not let others around us give up. We lift up Jesus. We lift up his body, his blood. Thank you, Father. Help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.